Adventures in Research. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. From the dawn of civilization, man has ever looked up to the stars above him and pondered. The vastness of the universe has humbled him. Legends have intrigued him. And the mystery of the heavens has ever provoked the one starting block for any adventure, curiosity. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today it is the story of the missing planets and of the men who scan the heavens in order to increase our knowledge of the universe, of which we are an infinitesimal part. These men, who are they who frame our knowledge of the skies? One was Aristotle, who in 300 B.C. said,
"Our universe has a simple and perfect pattern. Our Earth is fixed at the center, and round it, the moon, the sun, and the stars revolve on separate spheres."
And another man was Copernicus, who in 1540 wrote,
"The motion of the planets through space prove to me that the Earth and these planets revolve around the sun."
A third man was a music-loving organist in Bath, England, and his name was William Herschel, born in 1738, who sauntered down a quiet street on a quiet day and walked right into history.
Good morning, Mr. Herschel.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Parker. And what a morning. I couldn't resist a stroll.
My wife and I enjoyed the concert at the chapel last Thursday.
Thank you. You appreciate music as you do your books.
Both of them food for the soul, Mr. Herschel. Though a few people are stopping at the bookstall here in such weather. Flowers, perhaps, but not books in the spring.
Oh, now, Mr. Parker. Flowers can only wither, but your books in the stall here bloom through the ages.
Oh, a man as busy as yourself finds time to read is more than I know.
Well, it's sometimes a refreshing change after instructing reluctant children in the path of Bach or Haydn.
But concerts and the music you write and the lessons.
Mr. Parker, when I become annoyed with my pupils who never will know as much about music as I do, I simply pass your bookstall and discover, lo, that I know so little about many things, too.
Don't we all? Like mathematics. Here, this book, for example. I can't add two and two without paper and pen. To read this book would to be in another world.
So you shall read it.
I shall not. I much prefer this world.
Not I, Mr. Parker. Oh, perhaps you have such a book for me, to sail me off into some new and wonderful and strange world that... Oh, but here. This is the very one.
Oh, but Mr. Herschel.
The Order of Celestial Revolutions. There, you see. I know nothing of astronomy, and the author, this Mr. Braghini... Senor Braghini, rather, shall swirl me off into the realm of stars and suns.
Very well, Mr. Herschel. This is only a shilling. It's a well-worn volume.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Here you are. Good day.
Good day, Mr. Herschel. Ah, a beautiful spring morning. And he reads about stars. Ah, well, it takes all kinds. Maybe I should have opened a flower shop after all. Three more books on astronomy, Mr. Herschel? Yes, sir.
Surely you must have some books on the stars I haven't read.
Oh, Mr. Herschel, look what I have. They came in only this morning. Four more on astronomy. Oh, I'm sorry to hear the news, Mr. Herschel. The wife and I will miss your concert.
I'm sorry, too, Mr. Parker. You have, nothing new for me?
No, Mr. Herschel. You have more books than I do believe. Oh, it won't be the same without you playing the organ, Mr. Herschel, and buying the books and all. I hope you're leaving for a better position, London.
Oh, I'm not leaving, Mr. Parker. I just won't have time for the organ recitals anymore. You see, I'm going to build a telescope. Good day.
Good day. Oh, the finest musician we've ever had at the chapel. And he wants to build telescopes. Now, oh, these musicians are a queer lot, but they are.
And 36-year-old William Herschel made his newfound hobby a lifelong career. He built his first telescope, 5.5 feet long, and began scanning the heavens. Then another telescope, and another, and another. And he discovered the wonders of the universe around him.
Stars of varying brightness. Stars of different colors. At times, two stars revolving around each other.
And in 1781, the Bath Chapel organist found something new in the universe.
For all the world, it must be another planet. But, Your Highness, it cannot be. There are no new planets.
You mean your royal observatory has never located a new planet?
Your Highness, please. There is no new planet. Certain things in nature are fixed and unchangeable. There are 6 planets, just as there are sun and 1 moon. 6, no more and no less.
I am granting an audience to the young astronomer, Sir Silvers. It would be quite an honor to be the patron of a lad who discovered a 7th planet. When the royal astronomer says there are but 6.
Lad, indeed. An itinerant musician, Your Highness. Ill-prepared for the research necessary to scan the heavens. Homemade telescopes. And now, a homemade planet.
We shall hear him out, Sir Silvers. Who knows? Perhaps you can learn something from the lad.
He probably has been looking through the wrong end of his telescope and discovered his own eyeball. There are 6 planets, and only 6, Your Highness. From the ancient Greeks to this year of our Lord, 6 planets.
My calculations, Your Highness, show this new planet to be over 100 times larger than the Earth.
Bosh.
And nearly twice as far away from the Sun as Saturn.
It is fabulous, Mr. Herschel, fabulous. When we consider that the Astronomer Royal insists there are 6...
Your Highness, if there is another planet, which there isn't, but if there would be such a planet beyond the furthermost Saturn, isn't it logical that it would have been discovered before this time? Why would the discovery wait for a musician to look up and say, oh, me, another planet that Aristotle overlooked?
But, sir, it appears larger than the stars, and it has continually altered its position in the heavens. It is not a star.
Then it is a comet. Surely such a planet as you describe would have been charted by past astronomers.
That sounds logical enough. Sir Silvers, why not check the gentleman's calculations at the Greenwich Observatory? And perhaps in the charting of the heavens, you might find previous mention of this new-found planet.
Yes, Your Highness. In checking through the records and maps, Your Highness, we searched for any mention of a star agreeing in brightness and magnitude with this discovery. It has been seen and catalogued altogether about 20 times.
Then you have seen this planet of Herschel's?
Its path constitutes a circle around the sun. It is 100 times larger than the Earth and twice as far from the sun as Saturn.
Splendid.
You understand, Your Highness, we cannot be expected to be perfect. The observatory is constantly checked.
That will be all, Sir Silvers.
Mr. Herschel's claims were...
That will be all.
The new planet was christened Uranus, and scientists set out to chart its course through the heavens. 2 of them were Sir George Airy and his friend, Professor James Challis. Again, the ancient maps and records were brought out and culled.
What I don't understand, Airy, is if Uranus has been noted all these years, why didn't someone recognize it as a planet?
Because no one till Herschel ever compared observations taken at different times. Now, Chalice, our duty is not to make a similar mistake. Check the figures again.
Yes, Sir George.
These records can show us the exact path of the new planet, Uranus.
But the figures show, Sir George, that it does not travel exactly the path calculated by the law of gravitation.
It has to. Have you taken into account the effect of the other planets? The sun?
Yes, but there is still a deviation.
Then either Newton's law of gravitation is wrong, or something is pulling Uranus out of its path.
Something beyond Uranus? Another planet?
But where to look in all the vastness of the sky for such a planet, if it existed? And a young student of St. John's College, Cambridge, named John Adams, asked himself the same question.
Here is Uranus being pulled out of its path by an absolutely invisible agent. Can it be shown by mathematics? If I had the figures and the gravitation of Uranus, perhaps...
2 years later, Professor James Challis received a letter signed John Adams.
If you will turn your telescope and point at this place indicated in the sky, at 3:42 tomorrow morning, you shall see the planet which is upsetting Uranus. Where?
Professor Challis saw the planet, but failed to recognize it. Then the Frenchman, working independently, made the same discovery with paper and pen, and communicated his discovery to the Berlin Observatory. There, the eighth planet, Neptune, was discovered at precisely the point indicated by both Adams and the Frenchman, Le Verrier.
It is quite strange, sir, but the planet Neptune itself does not quite follow a natural orbit.
You mean a discrepancy such as that in the orbit of Uranus?
Yes, between the observed path and the calculated path, there is a slight discrepancy. Something seems to be exerting some pull on Neptune to force it out of the orbit we calculated.
Not another planet?
Yes, probably another planet.
Accordingly, astronomers and mathematicians set to work, as Adams and Le Verrier had, attempting to locate the position of the ninth planet, if such there was. But the task was not simple, and reward was not speedy. Not until 1930, at the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, was the newest planet believed to be located. The new heavenly body, named Pluto, is undoubtedly a planet. However, it is not nearly large enough to account for the deviation of Neptune from its calculated path. Perhaps the deviations are accidental errors in the observations of Neptune itself. Nevertheless, the search still goes on. And for that, newer and better instruments are being constructed. A giant 200-inch telescope is being installed at Mount Palomar, California. Undoubtedly, the new giant eye to the sky will bring us new news of the universe that lies about us. For as the mind of man advances, as his knowledge increases, new and breathtaking wonders unfold before our eyes.
Our sun is but one among many of such. Our solar system itself is but a mere speck in a universe vaster than the mind of man dare contemplate.
Ponderable words indeed are these of Sir William Herschel, the chapel organist, who, with no special background and no motivation other than his own curiosity, changed the minds of men about the heavens. From a bookstall on a spring morning to a planet 1,700 million miles away, that was William Herschel's Adventure in Research. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Join us again next week for another transcribed story by Dr. Thomas on Adventures in Research.